Robert Fripp of King Crimson, brought to you by the United States Army Reserve. And I'm Allison Steele, the Nightbird. That's the sound of King Crimson, and this album undoubtedly will be a collector's item. Of course, it is the last, the absolute last live or any kind of album by King Crimson. And we have Mr. Crimson, the king himself, in the studio, Robert Fripp.
Hello, Allison.
Welcome to America. And, of course, now, don't get testy with me. We've discussed this before, but I have to say it for the benefit of all the people listening now. There'll be a lot of crying when they find out, if anyone doesn't already know, that there won't be any more King Crimson.
For me, it's an immense relief.
Did you dislike it so much?
Most of it was very painful. It was 6 years that I would wish on no one. At the same time, it was an education. It was something that had to be gone through to get to the other side. Like going through school. You may not like school, but you certainly have to go through it.
When you say it was painful, is it the whole mechanics of the music business, or just specifically for you?
It's mainly the difficulty of trying to achieve a certain aim with so many other people involved that are working in different directions. It must be the same for them that I get in the way of what they want. Another thing involved is the quite frightening responsibility. With King Crimson, it was mainly a cooperative unit, which meant everyone involved had to carry a certain amount of responsibility. So it was just as difficult for them. But in the unfortunate situation of myself being personally identified with King Crimson, something which I've worked hard to move away from.
To dissipate, right.
But nevertheless aware that a lot of people did connect me quite strongly with King Crimson, meant that if anyone else in the band did something which perhaps didn't work, inevitably I would get the blame. And I wanted neither the blame nor the credit, because by far and away, the majority of good things in Crimson were due to other people.
Robert, why do you say that the good things were due to other people? Don't you feel that you had any influence? I mean, where would everyone get the idea that you are King Crimson? And that's not something I made up. I mean, that's something I get overwhelmingly from your audience.
Well, the fact that I've been with the band all the time. Wow. It seems to be a significant coincidence. I'll tell you something which I haven't spoken about in a kind of public situation which might interest you. When, just before the band broke up, when we were recording Red, the last studio album, and we asked Ian if he'd like to join, and he...
Ian McDonald.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He agreed to join for the tour of America, which we would have done in the autumn of 74, and presumably had it worked out, he would have stayed. My plan was to leave myself and leave the band with Ian to establish the right of succession from the first band, and to be replaced by another guitarist who they could have found. But David Entoven, the manager, said that he wasn't interested in a Crimson without me, so the idea was never taken any further. Ian himself, so he told me last weekend, phoned up Mike Giles and asked Mike if he would have been interested in going on the road with Crimson again, because Ian thought that had he been, this would have been sufficient to keep me with Crimson again. In fact, it wasn't. I was going anyway.
King Crimson, from the last, positively the last album, a live album, and Robert is with us today. Robert, where was the album recorded?
Most of it was recorded at Asbury Park in a fun palace on June the 29th, 1974. Schizoid Man was recorded at Providence on the 30th. And the band finished 2 days later in New York.
And that was it?
Yeah.
That's one song?
Yeah.
All right, we've talked about the past enough now. Now I want to know, the last time I spoke to you was sometime in August 74, and here it is, almost a year later, and you look remarkably well, and certainly totally content and happy? And what's his secret?
I find it difficult to answer that. I sound remarkably together from your description.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a very great struggle inside myself. I have 2 years substantially outside the music business to find out for myself a little more. Well, an education outside the music business instead of an education in the music business.
Mm-hmm.
I shall be going on a sabbatical for a year. Completely, off to the country to Sherborne House.
What is Sherborne?
It's the centre of the Institute for the Comparative Study of Philosophy. Philosophy, Arts and Sciences, I think.
It sounds fascinating.
The International Academy for Continuous Education. An intensive course in various aspects of living, music among them.
Robert, what will you do with all this advanced study in psychology? Is it for you personally to be able to cope with life more efficiently, or do you want to teach?
Both things. I've started teaching guitar in England, a system called Guitar Mechanics, which uses different psychological techniques. And so far, it's very promising. But in order to take it further, I have to find out more about it myself. I have to go through the training myself, if you like. At the end of 2 years, I have no idea what I'll be doing, whether I'll be playing again, whether I'll just be teaching, or whether I'll be working completely outside music. At the moment, I have no plans at all to work with the group again.
Are you essentially happier now than you were when you were with them? Can you say that you are more content?
Yes, it's an interesting balance between knowing what I'm doing, if we ever know what we're doing, and having to struggle continuously with myself, which isn't fun.
Since I met you, I think, now I could be all wrong, but it seems to me is that you are a man in search of himself, as we all are. Some people really kind of give up very early in the game because you kind of trundle along from day to day and hope for the best. But you appear to be making a real effort to find out what it is in life that makes you tick. And do you think you'll ever really know when you've reached it? Do you think some morning you'll get up and say, Nirvana, I have found you?
Well, there's so many different stages, there's so many different platforms you arrive upon that you can say, well, hey, I found another platform all the time. But when you reach the end of the road, well, that's really at the end, isn't it?
I would think so. That's what I would think. I mean, I cannot picture ever being at a time at you, the kind of searching person that you are, to ever get to a point in saying, well, now, here it is, this is it.
I wouldn't have thought that very, very, very feasible or possible. You'd never stop.
You're going to go on looking, aren't you?
Yes. There's no real alternative.
Is the looking frustrating? Or is it...
Well, it's the struggle involved. It requires constant... A constant work, a constant dissatisfaction.
Wouldn't it be just a little easier to sit back and...
It would be far easier, of course it would.
Why do you choose the more difficult path?
Because I have no real alternative.